Brianna Birschbach is a reporter for MinnPost. She had a story this week, Back to the Future, Tim Pawlenty's case for why he maybe, probably, might want to be governor again. And Brianna Birschbach joins us now. I've really been enjoying your headlines, Brianna.
Maybe, probably, might.
I can't take credit for it. My editor is the one who comes up with that. But we discussed, well, what do we do? Because he's not technically in the race yet. You know, he's been doing all these things that look like he's running, but he hasn't announced yet. So we have to obviously handle that carefully.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of rumors about this, about Pawlenty joining, possibly Kurt Dowd. But Monday, he took a little step towards it, right?
Yeah, he did. He registered with the Campaign Finance Board, basically to open a committee to allow him to fundraise. Now, he legally had to do that because he is held this week a fundraiser in Naples, Florida, and has raised some money and spent some money. Basically, once you cross either raising or spending $750, the Campaign Finance Board requires you to set up a fund. So he's done that, he said, according to law, still exploring. But, you know, the rumors are that he's getting closer to announce maybe sometime early in April.
So he's going to Naples. What are the bunch of snowbirds down there?
Yep, that's it. Rich snowbirds as well. I think it's there's a several thousand dollar limit on if you want to attend, you have to at least offer up a several thousand dollars toward a possible campaign for governor.
So Tim Pawlenty was our Republican governor for two terms, and he left to run for president. Is that right? Or didn't run
yes.
for it again? So how will this work for him, do you think? Because he has a record as governor. How is he going to go forward in this?
You know, I think that is what all of his opponents are going to be talking about, whether it be Republicans who are trying to beat him in the endorsing or primary contest, or whether it's Democrats who are going to aggressively attacking his record, specifically on when Pawlenty was governor, he really pledged not to raise taxes. Now, he did raise some other fees and some taxes, but income taxes never raised. And that often put him at odds with Democrats who controlled the legislature at various points during his governorship. And the economy wasn't exactly doing well at that time. So they did have budget deficits. There was a lot of controversy, and Pawlenty famously unallotted the budget after legislators went home, which the Supreme Court overturned. But, you know, there's definitely a lot there for Democrats to unpack. I don't think Pawlenty is going to want to be talking about that very much, though. I think he wants to look like a forward-looking candidate. He's actually been giving this speech now for over a year to various chambers of commerce, universities, basically anyone who will listen, about the fourth industrial revolution, which is, you know, the next coming wave of technology and advancements that can propel the economy forward. He walks across stage. He shows videos about flying cars and 3D printed houses. And when he does transition into a potential run for governor, a lot of people believe he's going to be talking about this in his campaign as well.
So your article clearly explained how he wants to talk about the future, and his Republican and DFL opponents are going to want to talk about his past. I think that's quite a good way to explain the tension of his campaign. Why don't you think he might be interested, say, running against Tina Smith for Senate?
Yeah, you know, some people did say he was interested, and he kind of, for a little while, said maybe I would do that, and then eventually said no. Some people think Karen Housley, the woman who is running already on the Republican side, announced early, and she kind of quickly coalesced a lot of support around her, and that might have made him shy away a little bit, just because it would have been an even more possibly competitive primary challenge than he's facing now in the governor's race, which is not open. There are, you know, a half dozen sort of more known candidates running on the Republican side, but they're mostly unknown. A lot of people have been searching for a big name Republican candidate on the Republican side, and I think he saw an opening there, and he does have the experience in the governor's office, whether people will criticize it or not. It is what he knows. He was a creature of the legislature before he was in the governor's office. This is his world. And I think he likes the sort of executive power of the governor's office. Being a United States senator has its limitations, which Dayton hated when he was a senator. You know, he felt like he was one of many and couldn't really get a lot done. He loves being governor. Hmm. You have a lot more authority. You have the bully pulpit. So I think some of those things are what made him lean more toward that toward the governor's race than the Senate race.
Now, Hennepin County Commissioner Jeff Johnson is back in the race for a Republican nomination. He ran against and lost to Dayton 4 years ago. It suggests to me, though, that the Republicans don't have a lot of, they don't have a deep bench, I guess, as they say, in terms of statewide candidates that have a statewide appeal. You've kind of alluded to that. Is that fairly accurate, do you think?
I think a lot of people feel that. I mean, you have this huge open governor's seat. It hasn't been open, obviously, since Dayton was elected in 2010 and started serving in 2011. People have been thinking about this for years, and it's really a chance for Republicans to do what other legislatures and governments across the country have done, which is have complete Republican control. It's their first shot at they control the legislature. It seems likely they could still control it after the election if the House doesn't flip. This is their chance to have a Republican governor with a Republican legislature, the first time in a very long time. And a lot of people really, really want that, especially with redistricting coming up. But they just didn't have the candidates willing to step up. You know, there are some who are, you know, people have looked at but haven't stepped up. Kurt Dowd, the Speaker of the House, has kind of, he's still left the door open. He's not saying no, but he's not saying yes. I think he's waiting to see what Pawlenty and others will do. And some are scared off as well by what is looking more and more like a very good year for Democrats. I think nobody really knows if a wave is coming, but there's potential. Trump is unpopular, usually in midterms. The party of the president does poorly. So a lot of people are wondering how poorly will Republicans do, or is there a chance for them in a state like Minnesota where it doesn't always go with the national trend?
We're talking to Brianna Birschbach. She's a reporter for MinnPost about the possibility of Tim Pawlenty running for governor as a Republican in the race. Isn't it kind of late? It's March already for him to not quite declared, but maybe declared.
Yes, it is. It is late, but that's probably what happens when you're not really seeking the endorsement. I think that's what a lot of people assume is Pawlenty's strategy. He is getting in after a lot of the conventions. He could say, you know, oh, those are already done. You know, I don't have a shot at the endorsement. I haven't been in that long. I'm just going to go right to the primary. A lot of people think that is his strategy either way. And, you know, the primary season and the summer campaigning hasn't even really started yet. Right now, the Republicans and Democrats in the governor's race have been really talking to delegates leading up to this June endorsing convention. They want that endorsement. They're talking to the hardcore activists. The broader primary campaigning hasn't really begun yet. And I think Pawlenty thinks, given his name recognition, given the money he could line up behind his campaign, that he could prevail in an August primary even without the Republican endorsement.
And what has he been doing in the last 7 years since he left office?
Well, he ran for president, and that did not work out incredibly well for him. He was out of the race, before Iowa, but it might have actually been right after Iowa, after poor performance there. And then after that, he, not immediately, but not too long after, he joined the Financial Services Roundtable, which essentially as their head lobbyist, which represents big banks, and he was making millions of dollars traveling around the world to do this position. It's definitely going to be something that he's not going to want to talk about, but others are going to talk about. Already his Republican and Democratic opponents are attacking him for being a lobbyist, a D.C. lobbyist for big banks since he left the governorship, and he'll have to deal with that. He'll have to learn how to combat that or try to highlight positive pieces of that. He did it a little in his speech. He said in that job he got to meet all sorts of innovative companies and people creating innovative technology that could benefit the state. I think you might hear some of that, but right now he's basically calling it a large trade organization instead of a D.C. bank lobbying group. So he's already kind of starting to figure out how his messaging is going to work on that.
What are DFLers thinking about this possibility of Pawlenty getting in the race?
You know, I think some are obviously excited because they have an established record to look at, and they think it'll be easy to attack him for that. And also, Pawlenty wasn't particularly popular as governor. He never cracked 50% of popularity or support on the ballot. You know, he was in two very tight races, and he didn't necessarily have the people's behind him when he was governor a few years ago. Now, people's memories are short. People could forget about that. Some Republicans are certainly excited about a Pawlenty coming in, but I do think Democrats are looking forward to challenging him. But also, you know, this is now this is, I think, a real race for them, and they're going to be able to pull in more money with a former governor running. He's going to immediately have more name recognition than anyone in the Democratic field. That can change as they build their name recognition through the race. But, you know, he has a name that people know, and that really means something in these kind of elections.
You know, Brianna, you did mention in your article and how Pawlenty wants to focus on the future, on the fourth industrial revolution, on technology being our the economic engine of our future. But I think not just this particular issue of candidate, but in a lot of the way we talk about candidates now who are lining up to run for office, a lot of our discussions are pretty weak in terms of issue content. Where do they stand on this? What specifically do they? We know that Republicans generally don't want taxes and want small mm-hmm. government, but are there any other specific things you think that would distinguish Pawlenty from Jeff Johnson or other Republicans, or even from between Tim Pawlenty and DFLers?
You know, I think we're going to get into that. You know, I think right now, Jeff Johnson is certainly trying to point out differences between himself and Pawlenty. Particularly, Pawlenty was not a supporter of Trump. He thinks he grew government during his time as in terms of spending and raising some money to pay for new projects. You know, I think he's going to talk about that as in terms of policy. But you're right, we're in this very political, very high-level stage of the campaign where it's sort of the activists who are looking at this and thinking, who can win? What are your strengths and your liabilities politically, not necessarily your policy issues? And I think on the Democratic side especially, it is very hard to find notable differences on policy issues. The guns topic is going to be brought up considering Walz's record. U.S. Rep. Tim Walz, 1st Congressional District, definitely First Amendment supporter and has had the backing of the NRA in the past, and his Democratic opponents are bringing that up and trying to use that in the race against him as the apparent front runner at this point. So that is something that we are starting to see. But you know, on the Democratic side, there aren't a ton of differences. They're all talking about campaign finance reform. They're all talking about raising the wage. They're all talking about legalizing marijuana across the statewide for recreational use. They're talking about the same issues. I think we're going to have to really see some narrowing in on that as we get closer to the convention and absolutely the primary.
Brianna Birchbach covers politics for MinPost. You can read her work at minpost.com. Are you headed to the legislature today, Brianna?
Yeah, it was a busy week. They had a deadline week, and this week and next week before they go on break. So the bills have to, if they're going to make it, for the most part, they have to get up to meet these deadlines. But it's quiet today, actually. Only a few hearings on the schedule, but I am headed there.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks a lot, Brianna.
Have a great day.